The following is a presentation of Muddy River Sports.
Once again, it's time to break it down. This is the Muddy River Breakdown. We're talking hoops today. We're talking wrestling.
Yeah.
We're even going to talk a little junior high basketball.
We are. Point. Oh, my gosh. No wonder you're having me on today.
Because, there's this kid on this seventh grade team that's going to state who we might know.
Right. Yes.
Little punk that he is.
Rowan Stegeman is who you're referring to, right? That's who you're referring to?
No, I wouldn't call Rowan a punk.
No, he's not.
Now, Caden Martha I might call a punk.
Correct, yes, so would I.
And he would laugh at me, and that's okay.
Throw his hair up into the air. Yes, and I've got a funny story about the hair coming up later in the program, so you're going to want to listen.
Good. Hey, yeah. I'm Muddy River Sports Editor Matt Shuckman. My trusty sidekick, as always, Benjamin Marth.
Good to see you, Shuckles.
Good to see you. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. There's a lot to get to.
Woo, it's a big week ahead of us.
Yeah.
We're coming off a good weekend. Last weekend with a lot of wrestling in town, and now we're into the winter postseason. And I was looking at the calendar today, trying to map some things out for the next few weeks. Do you realize we're only a couple weeks away from regionals for basketball?
Yeah, girls start what? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah, less than that.
Yeah.
As we record this.
I was looking at Quincy High's boys basketball schedule today, trying to map some things out. Their final regular season game. It's February 14th.
Oh, my goodness.
How crazy is that?
That's not fair. Let's keep this thing going.
Yeah.
I don't want it to end anytime soon.
The regionals will be over before the end of February.
Phew.
It's crazy.
It goes fast, as you're well aware. You've done this for, 30 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you're approaching three decades doing this job, aren't you?
Yeah. Overall, yes. This is my 25th season covering Blue Devil basketball.
Which you should have a book just on that.
We are going to start dropping on this Friday.
Yeah.
My 25 most memorable games of my 25 years on the beat.
What a segue.
Yeah. Thank you. You led right into it.
Yeah.
So Friday, I've been working on the list.
Yeah.
And what I did is I didn't do research as far as, okay, I've got to go pick this game. I went and sat down with my notebook and went, okay, what games do I remember? And I just started making a list, and that's my list. And it ranges from last second shots to memorable individual performances to postseason wins to incredible crowds to interesting backstories. So it's not just going to be, well, here's the five best final shots.
Mm-hmm.
That Matt Shuckman has covered on the Blue Devil beat in the last 25 years, or the five best postseason games. It's what do I remember? It's basically what it comes down to. And I'm gonna write a lead in so people understand that I'm not saying these are the 25 best games ever played in my tenure here, but these are the ones that I remember the most. The ones, and I didn't want, and that's the way I wanted it. I didn't want to have to do research. I didn't want it to be okay. I went back and looked at every game in this season. Oh, this was a great game. Let's pick it out. I mean, and not every game Quincy High wins in the ones that I remember.
How many could you sit down and just recall right out of the gate? If I gave you 5 minutes, how many games could you recall out of that top 25 that you wouldn't have to refer back to?
Well, when I sat down and did it originally, I wrote down 20. I had 20 games like
20
that.
Games within a snap of a finger.
As I sat down and just started thinking, like, okay, just boom, and just started writing them down.
Holy moly.
And I had to go back and, as I'm preparing all these, I'm going back and looking up, making sure I get the date right, the score right. But, when I sat down, I can sit there and go, okay, this guy made this shot, or I remember this guy had this performance, or I remember this game happened, or I remember what led up to this game. And, there were a couple in there that I remembered the circumstances surrounding the game, but had to go back and look up at some of the details, some of who scored the most points and, what the final score was. But I remember some of the lead. And I'll give you one in it. For example, Quincy beat Chicago Julian, which had been a state-ranked team that season, in the final game at the Centralia tournament, holiday tournament, one of the 2 years they played in Centralia.
What year?
2003? 2005. I, off the top of my head, I don't. Again, those are the things I got to go back and
some of the particulars.
Particulars, yeah. You got to go back. But the reason I remember that, and it was a, and they won by 10. It was either, or 10 or 9 or 10. It was like 76-67, 76-66, somewhere right in there. They beat Chicago Julian, though. The day before, Jose Quintero had suffered a heart attack. Mm. So it was, how do they regroup from that? How do they come back out and play? That kind. So I remember that vividly. I remember actually the very first game Andy Douglas ever coached as the head coach was not his first game at Liberty and was not his first game at Quincy High School. He actually was the interim coach for a night at Peoria Central because Sean Taylor had gotten two technicals the night before. So Andy had to step in and...
So we saw the beginning of the Andy Douglas era before it even ever began.
Exactly. And that I remembered that. When I was thinking of great games, that jumped right to my mind. Those two were two examples.
What I've always enjoyed about your writing is you always give us the story behind the story because nobody does it better than you. You always give us something that we can kind of hang on to and cling to, and you get our attention right out of the gate. And some of those stories, those elements of stories that we wouldn't know about, you bring to our attention. And that's amazing stuff.
And I'm hoping through this series to just kind of have people relive some cool moments. You know, and some memories that maybe some of these players that, 10, 15 years after they finish playing, almost 25 years in some of their cases, still remember it the way I did.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's the case.
What's great about print is that you're there for the entire game. You see the entire from start to finish. You're there for the pregame show. You're there for the postgame show. You're there for everything in between.
Yep.
And that is a totally different element that no other media can provide.
Well, and there's certain things that happen with that. For example, one of the top 25 games on my list is the night J.D. Summers scored a career-high 40 points. And the player for Rock Island, it was at Rock Island Alleman, Don Morris Gym. I believe the kid's name was Tyler Ryan for Alleman, scored 39. So you had the back and forth of the two of them scoring, but JD hurt his hip right toward the end of the first half, went back to the locker room. When they came back out to warm up for the second half, he didn't come back out, and he had 21 points in the first half.
Goodness.
Here he comes back out, And that was the story I wrote, was him overcoming the hip pain and what had happened in the locker room and, So
that's just great stuff.
Again, and that was one of those that just immediately came to mind, and that was in 2000.
Yeah,
it's been a few years. So Friday we'll start dropping those. We're going to drop one every day for 25 days
on a perfect night. Leading up to what is one of the biggest games that this gymnasium has hosted in a long time.
Well, here's the deal. I got a feeling we're going to see to the rafter crowd on Friday night at Blue Devil Gym. I got a feeling we may see people standing room only, maybe standing in the stairwells if the fire marshal will allow it. I think it's that type of atmosphere that we're going to have at Blue Devil Gym. We've seen tremendous crowds this year. The crowds for the shootout were large, were packed, and those were great games. And this is lining up to be one of those great moments. And we'll see. We hope it lives up to it.
Right. No question about that.
Moline coming to Quincy, first place in Western Big Six. Quincy in second place in the Western Big Six. Quincy needing to beat Moline to forge a tie. Then both would have three games left in league play to see what happens. But if you don't win, you've pretty much lost the Western Big Six title this year.
Only one conference loss between the two of them.
Correct. Moline is 10-0. Quincy is 9-1. Moline ranked number 2 in the state going into this week. In Class 4A, Quincy ranked number 8. It was a 12-point game at Orton Fieldhouse back in December 16th. So it's all lining up for this to be an incredible night of basketball at Blue Devil Gym with a conference title at stake. And there's been a couple of those over the years that I've covered where it has been standing room only practically for a Western Big Six title showdown.
It's one of those games, Chuck, that, you know, there are few that hours before the game, the hair on the back of your neck starts to rise a little bit. You start to get a little anxious. You start to get a little excited. There are a lot of emotions.
We're sitting here on Tuesday afternoon recording our podcast, and I'm ready for Friday night. And I've got a lot of things to get done between now and then work-wise. But can we just jump ahead to Friday night?
Yeah. And then you don't want Friday night to end. You know, no. It's like, gosh, that's a buzzkill that it's over.
Well, and then you got the intrigue that a former Quincy coach is on the Moline sideline.
Mm-hmm.
You got two kids going to Iowa for Moline, one of which just became Moline's career scoring leader last weekend in Brock Harding. And is this the passing of the torch? So you have two seniors at Moline, both going to Iowa, who are leading the charge, leading this team. And then here comes this group of sophomores at Quincy High School who are extremely talented, who are, you know, multiple kids in the starting lineup, sophomores and juniors. They're the team that's going to be expected to be in Moline's position next year.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, can you pull the upset and just go ahead and take over now? I mean, that's really what this comes down to.
I think it's possible. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think that the Blue Devils have got to obviously stop their inside presence. And then obviously, what are you going to do? Brock Harding is going to do what Brock Harding does. Their inside presence is going to do what their inside presence does. But I really think that they have a shot Friday night. I think that they can get some consistency from some of their outside threats. They're going
to
do well.
They have to score it better than they did at Wharton Fieldhouse. And that comes down to being able to handle the defensive pressure Moline throws at them. Moline can really get in your head, you know, the way they play defense. And some of it could go a little on that edge where it could, you know, you might deem it a little, are you crossing the line a little bit? You know, not necessarily crossing the line, but it gets to that point where, you know, a little pinch here, a little tug on the jersey, a tug on the shorts.
That's all gamesmanship. Exactly.
I love it.
But
you have to be able to handle that.
Right.
Yep. And that's where the Blue Devils are going to have to be able to handle that because Moline's going to pull out some stops. They've got some guys that are willing to play, to have the little gamesmanship.
Right. I told my son that was part of the game that I enjoyed playing. I mean, I loved trying to get into people's heads with the grabbing of the shirt, with the, you know, with the talking a little smack in their ear. I loved that part of the game because I knew if I could get in front of their head.
When they're getting ready to shoot a free throw, you just kind of bump them as you're going to take your place on the line.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get one, you could separate yourself, you know, just a little, like an inch or two, and get inside their head.
Yeah.
You've won that battle.
Right. So Quincy High is going to have to win those battles. Because Moline's going to make them battle for it on Friday night. It should be a lot of fun. Should be a great weekend of basketball. And, you know, I was looking over the schedule for this weekend's Superfan Shootout, KHQA Superfan Shootout going on at the Pit. And Friday night's games are okay. You know, both Notre Dame boys and girls play at home.
Yeah.
Notre Dame boys have Payson. Girls have Northeast Cairo.
That's
Civic Memorial.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, for Saturday nights. Sorry,
yes, correct.
I misspoke.
That's right. Yep.
So, should be a really good game. But then Saturday's lineup is dynamite.
I mean, it is loaded.
It is.
I mean, I looked at my list, and I've got 7 state-ranked teams
that
are going to be there.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just looking at my list, and again, this is as of early this week.
Right.
State rankings as of our recording have not been released for the current week.
Correct.
However, I've got on my list, Chuck, 7 teams state ranked.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Correct.
I mean, you've got the Central Southeastern girls. You've got the QND girls. You've got the Unity girls, South Shelby girls, Cairo girls. That's 5.
Southeastern boys.
Southeastern boys and Steelville boys.
Yeah.
And Southeastern plays Steelville. The last 3 of the last 4 games outside of the very last game, you've got 3 straight games of teams playing that are state-ranked playing against each other.
Against each other. Against each other, yes.
Where both teams are state-ranked.
Yes, and you look at Central Southeastern state-ranked playing Alton Marquette. Alton Marquette played Quincy Notre Dame in the sectional championship last year.
Shocked to see that they're down. I mean, I'm shocked to see that they're down. I mean, I believe they were in the Carrollton tournament last week, and they were like a 7 or 8 or 9 seed. I mean, that's not them. That's a good program. They were good last year.
But you start looking at that lineup, and you're going, wow, there's going to be good game after good game after good game out there.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun Saturday at the Pit. The one I'm looking forward to seeing is Quincy Notre Dame girls against South Shelby. Above all of those.
I would agree.
That's the one I'm really anxious to see.
Last year.
It's 55-53 in Shelbina last year.
Yeah.
It was part of a stretch where Notre Dame played state-ranked Civic Memorial on the road on a Saturday, went to Shelbina on a Monday, and beat two state-ranked teams back-to-back on the road. And that was kind of that moment where you went, this team could win a state title.
Yeah. I would agree that's a showdown. I would look at a sneaky game Friday night, the first game of the actual shootout, Griggsville Perry against West Hancock boys.
Yeah.
You know, two 18-win teams, I think, as of earlier this week.
Yep.
That's a sneaky good game, not to go away from Saturday, but Friday night, one that is kind of sneaky good boys basketball.
You know, obviously, people are going to show up to watch Notre Dame teams play. Get out there early, if you can, and watch that Griggsville Perry West Hancock team. West Hancock can shoot it and will shoot it from all over the place. And this Griggsville Perry team is scrappy. And they've beaten a lot of teams that everybody went, whoa, wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're a team that you sit there and go, okay, when it gets into the 1A postseason, class 1A postseason, man, they're gonna give somebody a fit. They're gonna be a headache for somebody.
I think the biggest storyline this weekend is the return potentially for Quincy Notre Dame's boys program.
Yep.
Of two prominent starters over the last year or two, and their pending return coming up on Friday night when Notre Dame plays Payson. You talk about getting Jake Wallingford and Braden Sheffield back into the mix.
Yes.
And from what I've been told, have looked really good in practice. Could make this team really special.
Well, Wallingford, the interesting part of this, Wallingford has been a part of it all year. He's been there since day one. He's been to every practice, outside of if he had a doctor visit or something like that. And I don't even know if his doctor visits coincided with any practice time. But you've seen video clips of him on social media dunking the basketball. I've had the opportunity to see him run a little bit out of the Pit. He looks really good. You know, he's not had the full contact of a full season of basketball, which could really help him because he's going to be fresh. You know, that's the thing. You're putting a 6'9 kid in the middle who can score, who was your leading scorer last year, who's now fresh. Now, granted, he's got to get up to game speed and game agility and game stamina and all those things. But, man, what an injection of life that's going to be.
My gosh.
And then your second leading scorer last year or one of your, in Braden Sheffield, who decided not to play at the beginning of the season, changed his mind, was allowed to come back, has had to meet certain parameters to get back on the team, appears to have done that. We'll know for sure this weekend if he plays. But now you've got a guy coming off the bench who's 6'4" with arms that seem to go forever and really can lock down defensively and can score, and that's now one of your guys coming off the bench. Wow. It changes the dynamic of that team entirely.
Two guys that can play above the rim a little bit, too.
Yes.
I mean, that they don't have that element right now. And to be able to have a Braden Sheffield who can get above the rim and Wallingford, a guy that can give you, 15 and 10 maybe, almost on a nightly basis.
Shots.
Yeah. I mean, that's an infusion right away.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, players that have been in other roles, a guy like Josh Bakke, a guy like Charlie Lavery, who've had to play a little bit more maybe than they've been accustomed to in years past, and have done an admirable job of doing so.
No question about it.
Will now fit maybe the role that they were more not comfortable with, but more accustomed to in the past.
To me, that's the big thing that this team has to work through starting this weekend and in short order, because we're only 3 weeks away from regional play for the boys, is they've got to figure out their new roles. Everybody, including Wallingford and Sheffield, what is their role going to be? What now? And if they accept and excel in that role, how does that affect the roles of everybody else?
Yeah.
And they've got to get on the same page with that in rather short order. Because if they do, they could be a very, very dangerous team in the postseason. But they've got to find that chemistry and that camaraderie and that willingness to play. This is my new role. How do I play that role now? They've got to adjust to that very quickly. And that's where I think having so many seniors pays off.
Yeah.
If this was a bunch of sophomores and this was happening too, it might be harder. But all of these guys have played together. All these guys have gone through the program. They have some maturity and some experience, all of them. They should be able to handle it.
If you indeed plug Wallingford into the starting lineup and potentially, again, I'm just speaking out of turn here.
We don't know what rotation they're going with, nothing.
Let's just play a fun role here and just kind of think about what the prospects could be. If you stick Wallingford in and you take Bakke out and you don't start Sheffield and you bring him off the bench, you now have Sheffield, you now have Bakke, you have Clouser, all coming off the bench. I mean, that changes the landscape of this team tremendously.
Tremendously. You know, Clouser is the one guy similar to Sheffield in terms of bounce, in terms of athleticism, in terms of length. So now you got two of those guys coming off the bench. And if Bakke can spell Kanoyer and Wallingford and continue to be the presence he's been, because I think he's done a really solid job at times.
Yeah.
You know, of being a physical player in the post. But now he only has to do it in spurts. He doesn't have to carry the load. So I think that helps him. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see who starts, who comes off the bench, what the rotations turn into, how many minutes certain guys get compared to where they've been. But I really think it's going to we know it's going to change the dynamic of this team. But if all goes well and everything syncs up, watch out.
Yeah, I would agree. We've got 10 games coming up this weekend at the Pit. 3 on Friday night, 7 on Saturday, and of course the nightcaps on Saturday with Q&D South Shelby Girls and Q&D Cairo on the boys' side as well. So those state ranked matchups, Southeastern against Steelville and boys, Unity against Cairo and girls, Q&D against South Shelby and girls, 3 straight games with dual state ranked teams.
And Central Southeastern state ranked, kicking that off before that against Alton Marquette. And then the two early games, Monroe City Liberty boys, I don't think it'll be quite as good as last year's Monroe City Liberty boys game in the shootout.
Man, was that fun.
But then the one right after that, Winchester West Central plays. That's boys, isn't it?
It is. Correct.
Alton Marquette. And that's against Alton Marquette.
Yeah.
And that's a team that people are looking at because they're young. Zach Evans is a sophomore who had a really good freshman year, has had a really good sophomore year. They're a young team, but a very talented team.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are looking at them to see what they're going to do in the coming years. Because, like, we had Liberty last year, a very senior-laden team that went to the state tournament, got second Class 1A. This year you have a very senior-laden Camp Point Central team that seems to be the one of the best 1A teams around here, along with Southeastern. Again, senior, Danny Stevens and that group. West Central, I think it looks like from this region, they might be the next one of that ilk, where you're going to have in the next couple of years, they're going to have guys who have a ton of experience. And when they get to be seniors, watch out.
Yep.
So this will be this will be a good look at them as they mold toward that.
Looking forward to it. Again, 10 games spread out over, should be a lot of fun. 16 to 18 hours. Yeah, no question.
Too bad you won't be there with me.
I will not be there, unfortunately. No, yes, I was supposed to be there.
You were.
But
your
not.
Plans got changed.
They did.
For a very good reason.
Correct.
You get to go be a proud dad on Saturday.
I'm a scorekeeper first and then a dad second, Matt. Get it right.
No.
David Adam, your cohort, would be disappointed if I didn't tell you my first role, my second role as a father.
As it is, you're going to be there supporting your son.
Yeah.
Little Marth.
Yeah.
And the Crusaders.
Correct.
I almost called them Raiders.
Called us Patriots on Monday night. We are the Crusaders.
The Crusaders.
Yes.
The Quincy Catholic 7th grade team has advanced to the Class 3A.
Yes.
State tournament. That had to be fun to watch those boys go do, one or two area teams who have advanced to the state tournament.
Yeah.
In Class 2A, Brown County, which is 27-0, advanced as well with a 54-18 victory in the sectional championship. So we'll have two area teams in the IESA 7th grade state tournament on Saturday.
Brown County beat us by a couple in overtime back in December.
Okay.
We are their closest game all season. They've routed pretty much everybody.
They've been really good.
Really good. And we have been good, too. We've played a very difficult schedule.
Yeah.
You know, we've played Jacksonville a couple of times, played Rochester, played Brown County. You know, Quincy Junior High beat us. We split, you know, our two meetings with them. It's been a fun run. It's a fun group of guys. They've been playing a lot of good basketball together for a number of years, and we've brought in, obviously, two veteran coaches, and Tom Vanderborn, Coach Adam, and they've taken us to the next level, Shuckles. That's all we needed was just a little push.
I thought the push came from the savior, Caden Mark.
He's had a fun little run. It's a fun group. It's a great team. He wears this mop of a hair. I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he wears this hairstyle. It looks like an old mop that you would see back in the back corner of your bathroom.
Yeah.
And so his mother,
doesn't he?
He does flip it all the time. He's always messing it. He could have the ball in his hands and he's messing with it. His mother tried to cut it on Sunday night, and that threw an uproar throughout the household, especially from his oldest brother and I. His older brother and I talking about you cannot mess with the mojo right now. Do not cut his hair. Don't touch it.
You can shave when the season's over. Shave it all off if you want.
That won't happen.
But not right now.
Yes, but not right now. Don't touch it.
Don't mess with the mojo.
Do not touch his hair. Yeah, he needs that. You know, he needs that for, you know, for his little lady friend. He needs that.
He needs something. He's a character.
He is a character. Yes, he is. And
your two older kids, fairly quiet.
They are
fairly reserved, very polite.
Yes.
Very. I think Jack still calls me Mr. Shuckman.
Yes.
Not Caden.
He's a whole different breed.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're proud of that breed. Sometimes we're also wanting him to shut that down sometimes as well. Oh, but he has fun. We have fun. It should be fun. We play an undefeated team out of the Joliet area coming up on Saturday. So who knows?
Gravy now.
I was going to say, who knows? Go out and have fun and just see what happens.
Go see what happens. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Well, while you guys are at the junior high state basketball tournament, the high school winter sports postseason gets underway.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a glimpse of that last weekend here in town when we had the Western Big Six Wrestling Championships at Quincy High School, and then the 31st Quincy Notre Dame Invitational took place at the Pit. All of those teams now enter postseason this week. Regionals kick off this week. Quincy High School will be going south, I believe, to Alton for the regional. And then all of our other area schools in the 1A, Class 1A level, go to Macomb, which is the regional host. We got a chance to see a lot of individuals get through.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some teams that could potentially win regional titles. In advance, and then because they do the individual state tournament and then they do a team state tournament, so they'll have a dual, and the winner, the regional team winners, advance to the dual sectionals and all that stuff. But got a glimpse of that last weekend. You know, had the opportunity to cover wrestling a few times this winter.
Yeah, you've done a great job with it.
We had some darn good wrestlers.
My goodness,
in this area. It could be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of. We're going to see. Now we're going to start to see now who's going to rise to the top.
I got to pick your brain on this.
Sure.
Because you've seen him now several occasions, and very few times in my 20 years of living in this city has there been a Quincy High School wrestler who's undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Owen Uppinghaus, an undefeated, 36-0?
36-0.
At 160.
Correct.
I got to ask you, Sean, I mean, is this a legitimate kind of state championship wrestler here? I mean, are we...
We're going to find out. We're going to find out. The one thing that people have brought up to me, they brought up to me last weekend is, well, he hasn't seen the Chicago area wrestlers yet. Well, that's true in some circumstances, but Quincy has gone to every tournament they've gone to, he's won. They've gone all over the state wrestling. He has really separated himself from everybody else in his weight class that he's seen. Could he win a state title? Yeah, he could. He's that good. You know, you don't go 36-0 by luck.
Yeah.
You know, very fundamentally sound, very savvy on the mat, very straightforward in his approach. He, you know, very focused, I guess I would say, in his approach. Doesn't let things rattle him. He gave up 2 points last weekend on a reversal, reversed the kid right back, but was really mad at himself for giving up the 2 points. He could care less that he won 18-2. He knew he needed to clean that up because he made a mistake. And he knows that at the state level, you make a mistake like that, it could cost you a chance at a title. There's going to be people who doubt him because he's from this area, and they'll look at it and go, well, the Western Big Six isn't great across the board,
right,
and things like that, and which I think is wrong because I think there's some really, really good wrestlers, so especially some of the ones I saw this past weekend. Does he still have something to prove? Sure, because there's going to be skeptics from other parts of the state that go, well, who's he wrestled?
Yeah.
He hasn't wrestled the best out of Chicago. I've already heard that. Well, bring on the best out of Chicago. I put my money on Owen Uppinghouse.
See what happens. I mean, you've got a couple of other kids, too, from Quincy High that could do some damage.
Briar Newbold could do something special. Todd Smith, we'll see how he does. He's an interesting sort because he's a freshman wrestling at 285. And as big and as physically strong as he is, he's still a freshman. You know, what's he going to face at the 285 level? You know, you face a senior who's rock solid and, you know, muscular and all that stuff. You know, how are you going to handle that? And I think the future is extremely bright for Todd Smith. And then you look throughout the lineup. A Max Miller could do something at 170. A Hugh Sherrow at 106 could do something. So, I mean, I think Quincy High, which has been really good in all of its duels and all of its tournaments this year, look out. They could get quite a few guys through. And then when you go up to Macomb for the Class 1A regional, you start looking, well, right off the top, Max Reiner of Macomb at 195 is a state-caliber wrestler. Ethan Ladd at 220 is a state-caliber wrestler.
Yeah.
Carter Hogue, I think at 160, is a state-caliber wrestler.
They also have a young kid in the lower weight classes that's pretty good too, right?
Yes.
I mean, Ethan Hoyt, isn't there a 113? I think he won the QND Invitational.
He was not from Macomb.
Oh, okay.
So, excuse me. I think there's a lot to look forward to at that level. Ryan Darnell from Quincy Notre Dame, 195 pounder, made it to the finals of the Quincy Invitational, QND Invitational, excuse me. Connor Griffin, Camp Point Central, the Cook kid from Pittsfield.
West Hancock maybe has one, too.
Yeah, Evan Carroll.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see who gets through.
Yeah.
But that's all on Saturday, so we'll have something to look forward to on that. Which brings us,
yes,
Mr. Marth, to this week's rankings.
Oh, love it.
So while I was visiting with people at the wrestling tournament,
yes,
it was brought up to me that people have listened to our podcast, and they threw an idea at me. It's not the same kind of wrestling, but they were talking wrestling, and they said, well, who's your favorite professional wrestler of all time?
Right.
We'd like to hear you guys talk about that. So we will.
Good deal. I like that. When I saw your text the other night, I like that.
So something a little different. It takes me back to my days of growing up, coming home from church, eating breakfast with my family, and then Dad and I turning on KPLR for Wrestling at the Chase.
Yes.
That was a Sunday staple in our house. You know, and then obviously it has morphed into WWE and all this entertainment and so many different now professional wrestling organizations. But my wrestling fandom took place on Sunday mornings watching KPLR with my dad.
My wrestling fandom was probably in the, I would say, late 80s.
Okay.
And we went to Kiel Center back in the day. And we got to see our Kiel Auditorium, whatever it was named. And we had second row seats to a WWF event.
Cool.
And it was absolutely incredible. It was one of the first times I was introduced to some choice words. And it was probably not even late 80s. It was probably mid 80s. I was probably not even double digits yet, or maybe early double digits. And it was incredible.
Yeah.
Whether you like wrestling or not, the entertainment, I think, is just fantastic. Oh,
the mic skills of some of these guys. I mean, to me, we could talk all you want about the actual wrestling part of it. But that's not the, I mean, yes, some of the moves coming off the top rope and you know, some of the moves, the physical moves they do are very impressive.
Yeah.
But the mic skills and the backstories and the storylines they create.
Right.
For these events. And the thing is, we've always heard all of our lives, it's fake. It's fake. Okay, it's scripted. We all know that. It's entertainment.
So are movies. I mean,
but what these guys do physically, what they put their bodies through is incredible.
Yeah.
And we've seen guys with some very serious injuries, wrestlers who have sustained very serious injuries.
Yeah. Career ending.
Yes. So this isn't like they're going out there and it's scripted and, oh, here, if I touch you and you fall down.
Right.
Like, they're literally hitting each other. They're throwing each other. When they jump off the top rope, they're literally jumping off the top rope and hitting the mat, you know?
There is no cushion. If you've been in one of those or on one of those wrestling mats and rings,
it's
not exactly like falling on your couch at home or bed.
There's some give.
Not a lot.
So with that in mind, we decided we're going to rank our top five favorite professional wrestlers.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you the floor to start at number five.
Again, we've talked about these rankings before. This are my personal favorites. Yes. It's not who I think are the best or whatever. And again, I don't have any current era wrestlers on my list, Chuck. I don't have any guys that I cling to this day and age. I just don't.
Okay. So
because I don't watch much anymore.
I don't either. Does your kid?
No.
See, so if your kid did, you would probably watch some there.
That's why. Well, Jack liked it growing up.
Yeah.
But it's been 10 years.
There you go.
Since I've really watched professional wrestling. I go back to my days as a youngster.
Same here.
All right. Number five, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. I mean, Hacksaw Jim Duggan with the 2x4 and the thumbs up in the air and, you know, everything patriotic about him. Loved Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You know, the thumb up there. Yes, exactly. The tongue out.
Tongue out, yep.
My number five.
Very nice. Well, I'm going to disappoint one of our good friends, Ray Wiest.
Okay.
And I'm not putting the Dudley Boys on my list, unfortunately. But I do go with one of my nephews. They had these, what they called wrestling buddies. And they were, for lack of a better term, they were similar to a stuffed animal. But they were wrestlers, and they were, I don't know, 2.5-3 feet high. And I remember one of my nephews had this guy as a wrestling buddy. And, of course, when we'd wrestle at their house and stuff, we'd always get the wrestling buddy out. And the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh.
And I can imagine, I can just picture him jumping in the ring and grabbing the rope and shaking it like crazy.
Face paint.
Yeah, with the face paint. Oh, mm-hmm. Loved the Ultimate Warrior.
He's on my list, too, but he's not at five.
So he's my five.
Okay.
Four.
Four, and I know you love this guy. I know you've talked about him in our conversations in the past. Junkyard Dog. Junkyard Dog, when he came in there with the chain wrapped around and he was ready to go, and there was something about him that just, you know, you just fell in love with.
You're down on all fours and headbutt a guy.
Yeah.
Like a dog.
Yeah. Just something that you just attached yourself to.
We may hear more about the Junkyard Dog later.
I heard that was your nickname in college.
We might hear more about JYD later in this podcast. But right now, number four for me, Bulldog Bob Brown.
Ooh.
That goes back to me watching Wrestling at the Chase with my dad. You had guys like George the Animal Steel.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys. Bulldog Bob Brown was a guy I just loved. Just, you know, feisty and, you know, ornery, and like, he was a little bulldog, you know. My dad loved him too, and I think that's why, you know. So the next three are on my list, or really ones that I enjoyed watching over the years. But as much as I enjoyed watching Bulldog Bob Brown, that's an ode to my dad as well.
My number three is Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
I almost had Superfly on my list.
Really?
I almost did, but I went another direction.
He was just a superstar to me in all different aspects of him. Watching him fly through the air, it really was bird-like. I mean, you felt like, you know, no offense to Coco Beware.
I was going to say, Coco Beware is the bird.
I know, you don't want to do that. But watching Jimmy Superfly Snuka, you felt like he was, you know, an acrobat wrestling. Yeah. He just was through the air everything was high and electric and up in the air. It just, I loved him.
So Superfly was a guy that I considered. Another guy I considered similar to Superfly was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah.
But for my number three, I had to put him on my list. Hulk Hogan.
Mm.
The Hulkster. God. I mean, when you're growing up in the early 80s, WrestleMania 3, you know, and he puts Andre the Giant down. I
yeah.
mean, you know, and the song starts playing, A Real American Hero.
I am a real American.
Yeah.
Yes.
You loved Hulk. Now, granted, the other versions of Hulk throughout the years, maybe not as enamored with.
Right.
But the true original Hulk Hogan, loved him.
Number two is Ultimate Warrior on my list. Okay, you've already mentioned wow. him.
All right.
I've got Ultimate Warrior. His body frame I thought was just incredible. He was just every vein popped out in his body.
Yeah.
The face paint, just everything about him was just fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, didn't he have Miss Elizabeth?
No, that was Randy the Macho Man Savage.
That's right.
Wow, you're gonna catch some grief for not.
I know. Well, my memory is maybe eluded me here of late.
I understand.
But no, the Ultimate Warrior was a guy that I loved.
My number two, because I said so.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh my.
The Rattlesnake.
Right.
Just absolutely. To me, Mike's skills were wonderful. The grabbing the beers, you know, after winning, having them throw beers to him, and just everything about him just made me want to be him.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to be a badass like he was.
Yeah.
You know, and even the stuff he's done post-wrestling, you know, he's hosted some shows, which I have found incredibly fascinating. One of the, I think it was AMC, did biographies on wrestlers.
They did.
And his was awesome. You know, learning about his background and how he got into the business. And everything about Stone Cold Steve Austin made me go, he's a badass. I want to hang with him.
I like it. That was a little bit after my, I lost wrestling for about, you know, for a number of years.
Yeah.
In between my not watching it anymore and then my you know, oldest son's getting into it. So there's about a 20-25 year span where I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
But my number one goes back to your list. I mean, Hulk Hogan was just an iconic figure.
Yes.
Growing up to me, I mean, it was the guy that you sat down to watch, no matter if it was WrestleMania or it was, you know, Tuesday night in St. Louis, wherever it may be, he was the guy you watched, for me anyway. He was must-see TV for me.
Right. Understandable.
Yeah.
He really was. Well, my number one... Mm-hmm. And it is undisputable in my book who my number one is, has always been since I was little.
Yes.
We're going to give you just a little taste.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't this what you and Michelle danced to at your wedding?
Should have. That was a great song. Now, do you know what the line coming up is?
I don't.
Grab them cakes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The JYD, baby.
Oh, wow.
The JYD theme song. Yes. Junkyard Dog. My favorite wrestler of all time. No doubt about it. Love watching the old video clips of him. JYD. Top of my list.
Love him. Everything
and
about
that'll
him.
Never change.
Yeah.
No matter what. Some of these other ones, we could go back and forth on, you know, you might bring up somebody, you know, like we talked about. You had Superfly Snuka. I could have gone Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. You know,
Jake the Snake was one of my favorite.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
We didn't mention the Von Erichs.
Right.
Macho Man.
Yes.
Nobody said Ric Flair.
That's true.
So, I mean.
Wasn't a big Ric Flair guy.
You could go a variety of ways.
You could have gone the villains, too. You could have gone guys that you didn't.
Yes,
like,
true.
You know, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. I couldn't stand.
Ted DiBiase.
Yes.
The Iron Sheik.
Love the Iron Sheik.
You know, you could. Yes. There's so many routes we could have gone with this. But right. for me, it will, undisputed, will never change. The JYD.
Can't blame you. I'm that same way with Hulk Hogan. He was must-see television. I wanted to watch him. Yep.
That was fun.
It was good. That was a good list.
That was great.
Good luck trying to outdo that one next week.
Well, hopefully we get somebody to chime in and give us an idea.
Yeah.
So, again, if you want us to rank something, you have a topic you want us to discuss, you just want to tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
Hit us up, sports@muddyrivernews.com, via email, @ShuckSports on Twitter. You can reach us on Facebook. You can find us all over the place. So
there should be no excuse to not being able to contact
us. You see us at a game. You see us out in public. You see us at the grocery store. Stop us. Tell us what you think.
I've had multiple people stop me.
Good.
And whether I'm at a game or at the grocery store, wanting to tell us how much they enjoy the program. And again, ideas, that's what sparks this show.
Exactly. So we'll keep talking sports, and we'll keep coming up with list to rank, and who knows where we're going to have a lot of basketball to talk here in the coming weeks, especially as we get into postseason. But that doesn't mean we're just going to talk basketball,
right?
So
we got some baseball probably to get to next week.
We will, because we're coming up on spring training.
Yep,
start to get exciting in that front. Looking forward to that.
Got a nationally ranked team in our backyard.
We do, and they kick off their season next week on the road. Yeah. We're going to go spend almost 2 weeks in Florida playing some of the best teams in the nation. So that'll be fun to see what Quincy University does. I'll be doing some of that this week, spending some time with them, getting some preview stuff done. We got National Signing Day for football recruits this week.
Yeah. And so, volleyball. Don't forget volleyball.
Yeah, I'm not going to forget volleyball. You won't let me forget volleyball. They don't do a full signing day on ESPN for volleyball.
I know. I'm just giving you.
We know your daughter's going to Quincy University, which is fantastic.
That's right. I didn't mean that plug. I'm just,
But how interesting is it? You know, last week we saw some more commitments get announced.
Yeah.
Quincy Notre Dame is sending kids to QU to play tennis, soccer, volleyball,
and football. Yeah.
So, yeah, Brock Wiley committed last week.
Yeah.
You know, Jackson Stratton committed to Butler this week. I mean, it's pretty interesting, you know, how good that senior class is across the board, male, female, up and down the line at Quincy Notre Dame.
Very impressive.
So we'll give you more on that as we move forward. But for now, we're going to get out of here.
Yeah.
You got to go get ready to cheer on 7th graders.
Yeah, I've got to go watch film and get ready for the big game Saturday. I've got a lot of film to break down as the scorekeeper and director of operations for the program. I've got a lot to get to.
Don't screw it up.
I won't. I won't. Okay. I won't. And if I do, I know that there's two other guys in front of me that will, you know, pull the lead.
Well, one's got a big head, so.
That's right.
Anyway. Have fun with that. For Ben Marth, I'm Matt Shugman. This has been another episode of the Muddy River Breakdown. Catch us again next week.
Muddy River Sports. Our home, our sports.